Hour number two of 3D on this Tuesday morning. Darren McFarland and Willie Donick with you. We say hello to Richard Deitch from Sports Illustrated, the author of The Media Circus. Richard, how you doing?
What's up, guys?
What's in store with you and the fam on Thursday?
Looks like it'll be a staycation as opposed to heading out of New York, which is pretty nice. Traveling with little kids is an absolute nightmare, so I'm quite ecstatic to not be going anywhere over the next couple of days.
Have they flown yet?
They flew to Toronto once, and that was a pretty short trip. It was getting ugly as we were landing in Canada, so I parents who have like 2-year-olds or whatever can fly them to, to Europe or cross country. It's I don't know how they do it. That is just insane to me.
Clearly, they don't care of others because I wouldn't do it. I don't want to be that parent.
Yeah, there's I mean, once you have kids, you sort of you have obviously new appreciation for other parents who are in that situation.
Yes, where your whole outlook changes when you're in that situation.
Yeah, if you were like in your 20s and you saw like a screaming kid on the plane, you were, there was basically like you wanted nothing but like to get off that plane. But I have far more patience and appreciation now for that. But my Thanksgiving gift to the world is not bringing my kids on any public transportation.
We've been talking about on the show, so I want to get your take, because there's so many moving parts right now with the NFL, right? They've been the big bad bully on the block for quite a while now. It has been quite the run for that league, and everything is cyclical, and we always talk about, 1 minute this sport is really popular, then they've taken a back seat, and then they're trying to get back to number one. Well, football, the NFL in particular, hasn't had that problem in a good while, but there it seems like there's a lot of things unraveling. It feels like if you check the tire pressure, it's low. It's not flat, but it's low. And so
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I was just going to say, so you've got, the constant every week theme of how bad Thursday Night Football is for these players. The coaches and players constantly complaining. They do all these things overseas, whether it's Mexico City or London, and there's constant complaining about that. You've got the anthem stuff. You've got Jerry Jones fighting with, Roger Goodell and not speaking to Arthur Blank and all these. I mean, it's turned into a reality show, and you do wonder, at what point is all this going to catch up, or is it to really hurting the product where it's doing something we never thought it would do?
That's a good question. I mean, we don't know the answer to that. It's very clear, though, that there are things that are happening with the NFL right now that we have not seen before, or at least in recent vintage. And you hit on a number of them. We have really significant public infighting between owners and the commissioner. We have declining ratings now for the last couple of years. We have a larger choir, sort of, especially on the player side, not happy with Thursday Night Football. We have the President of the United States calling out specific players in the league for protesting and activism, and obviously that's something that's never happened before. So you have all these different factors. And I think attendance is down in a lot of different places. The move to Los Angeles for the Chargers has not been close to successful. And so you have all these different factors, which are bad. That said, and this is like the important thing to know, and I'm not telling you or your audience anything you guys don't know, is they're coming from such a high base compared to other sports that I think you still have to be realistic in terms of, what is sort of a crisis and then what may turn out to be not necessarily a blip, but, sort of just something that all leagues have to deal with. It's still, this week's Cowboy game still drew, over 20 million. The even a bad Monday Night Football game in terms of ratings is still going to draw, 11 million, 10 million, 12 million. There's still no other sport that comes close on a weekly basis to touching it in terms of the massive amount of eyeballs that exist on the sport. But there's no doubt, like, I mean, there is a void in leadership right now in the NFL, and that is being caused because there are owners who think have clearly made a decision that they're in it for themselves and that there's not cohesion. Personally, like, I kind of find it, one, interesting, and two, maybe not mining is the wrong way, but, like, I find a lot of these guys very hard to root for. The Jerry Jones of the world, Bob McNair's of the world. They often come off to me just like very sort of spoiled, super wealthy high schoolers. And so for them to get some criticism in the public, personally, I enjoy, because I think they had it good for a long time. And the rights holders of the league were absolutely enablers of these guys. You never basically hear Fox, CBS, NBC really get into the sort of the meat and potatoes issues of the league. So a lot of it is their own doing, and they're getting some comeuppance. And you'd like to think maybe that would humble them and sort of they'd be more fan-friendly heading forward, but I'm not so convinced of that.
Is the game changer the next round of TV contracts? If ESPN pulls out of Monday Night Football, if the networks come back and say, look, I know we've been paying you X for all these years. We're not even going to come close to paying that. If you don't like it, then we're out. And those contracts go way down. Is that like the next bombshell?
There's no chance of that happening.
No chance.
None. Zero. I'll tell you why. If you bet on NFL rights fees going down, you've lost that bet throughout history. It's just, it's not going to happen. There are always, the world has changed given that there's now the streaming media company. And I think the NFL would absolutely, if they had to, go to the Amazons or the Netflixes and places like that, Google, whatever, Twitter, and cut a massive deal with them if the networks really decided to sort of get together and collude and say we're not going to bring them down. The problem is the networks are not going to trust the other networks. And so there's no way that, let's say, Fox would trust that CBS would tell the NFL that, you know, we're going to give you $500 million less because, you know, it's not going to happen. You have to always remember this, that television continues to lose viewers, linear television, cable television for sure. And one of the few guaranteed places where eyeballs still exist in mass numbers is the NFL. So while the numbers are down, the value of NFL product is still super high, particularly for CBS and NBC and Fox. It basically sets their entire schedule up. And, you know, even though NBC's ratings this year for football are not good, it's still the most watched show on NBC's lineup. It far and away, they charge the most advertising fees in that slot. It sets them up to promote the Olympics and promote everything else. So I just don't see it. I do not see the networks reducing, somehow coming in and saying we got to pay less. Now, the raises may not be as great as they once might have been if these ratings increases continue to go down, but I would bet on all these networks retaining, maybe not ESPN, but I even think they will, and I guarantee they'll retain for more.
Well, what are they going to do when they lose John Gruden in the booth? You know he's going to Tennessee. Have you heard, Richard? He's going to Tennessee.
I would.
You haven't heard the rumors?
Yes, I have. I was going to say, first of all, I would say that's good news for viewers. Leave it there. I know this is a huge story in Tennessee. I became convinced at a certain point that Gruden's not coming back. I think he likes the life of being in broadcasting. It's a great life. He's paid a fortune of money. He really has a lot of sort of fame and notoriety at ESPN, and the crew sort of all listens to him. He's a football coach through and through. I get that. But I'm still going to bet that he's going to stick at ESPN. I think he's grown to like that job and to sort of grown to like his lifestyle. That said, I don't think Gruden is bad at all. I think he's okay. But what this year has proven, at least in my opinion, I wonder if your audience would agree, when you watch Tony Romo do a game and then you compare it to Gruden, you really see what kind of revolutionary broadcast, maybe that's a little bit too of an overstatement, but you really see how you can learn from an analyst as opposed to just a sort of a guy who, great energy and, nice guy, fun guy, and, all the Grudenisms, but That's the big difference is watch a game that Romo does. You actually learn, as an NFL fan, things that are going on. With Gruden, it feels sort of – it feels a little too cliche to me.
To me, it feels like a younger Madden. That's all it feels like because he's kind of – it's like a shtick a little bit. I mean,
Madden light. Yeah, I mean, the one thing that Gruden, he's gotten a little better at it, but it's still like – you know, he falls in love with all these players, and that's great. But, like, you have to, like, as an analyst, to me, provide some kind of critical analysis when it's due. And, like, it's still too much like, you know, Rex Grossman and what a gunslinger. That guy is a guy I want on my team. And, you know, it's like everybody is a guy he wants on his team. Who's the Bills quarterback who threw five interceptions in the
Nathan
half?
Peterman.
Right. If Gruden's doing that game, is Nathan Peterman one of those guys I got to have on my team because he's gutsy? I mean, like, it's enough. Like, you're allowed to sort of go out and be critical when someone does something worth criticizing. Or if you're not going to be that guy, be like Romo and just sort of really, like, explain to us the game and how we could be better off. All that said, if he ended up did going to Tennessee, I have a feeling he'd be successful because I think a lot of kids would want to play for him given his NFL resume and also the fact that they've seen him on Monday Night Football now for 6 or 7 years. It'd be like playing with a celebrity. I'm always one in the college game. If you have fame away from just football, I think that could help you in recruiting if you are willing to deal with the recruiting. So I think Gruden would be actually a pretty good college coach if he decided to go that route. But, having talked to many, many college coaches, particularly in college basketball, who were once in the pros, it is tough for them to sort of go from the pros to college because the recruiting part of college athletics is just, it's an absolute nightmare. And, you go from five-star hotels to, traveling on the road to, watch some kid play in Iowa, in like 20-degree, weather in February. That's not the funnest thing.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah, it's a lot of work. Absolutely.
Richard Deitch is with us, SI.com, the media circus. And one of the things that Richard has in his weekly column is the new lineup for ESPN Radio. And, of course, Richard, we are an ESPN affiliate. Our sister station plays a lot of the national programming. One of our colleagues, Jason Fitz, is joining the lineup. We're really excited for him. And I know recently you guys sort of broke down some of the changes here. Tell us what you think.
Well, congratulations to Jason Fitz. That's cool. Anytime a guy who's sort of local and then goes national, I always think it's a pretty cool thing. I don't want to get you guys in trouble, obviously. Actually, I'm on your website right now, and there's a photo of Mike Golick eating a hamburger and Trey Wingo eating a hamburger. Congratulations, fellas. The thing that's interesting about ESPN Radio and Fox Sports Radio and NBC Sports Radio is that it's very hard to find success in very big cities. And that's because, I'm not telling you anything you guys don't know, fans are parochial, and fans want local far more than they want national. So if something big is going on in your town, and particularly if you have a multi-sport town like, mine in New York or Boston or Philly or whatever, it is very, even if you have a great national radio show, it is just hard to get any traction in those towns because you are going to lose every time the local people, which makes a lot of sense. Now, of course, there are stations that don't want to pay people locally, and that's why they pick up this programming. The thing about Mike and Mike that always kind of was interesting to me is that when I travel the country away from New York and go to, like, college towns, I realized just how popular they were. And I do think there was something to, and a lot of ESPN executives would tell me this, that, like, there's something to having, like, a show that you can put on if you're driving your kids to school that is not going to be too much TNA, that's not going to sort of not be good content for the kids. And that's kind of, more vanilla than not, kind of more straight down the middle, not controversial, et cetera. And I sort of got a sense and I understood why Mike and Mike had that kind of longevity. My sense would be that Wingo and Golick will be similar. I expect the show to not be so different. Wingo is different than Mike Golick in style and personality and interest. I think the show will be heavy in the NFL and heavy in college football, probably less in basketball than the Greenberg version. But I think that show, whatever that show is doing in markets, I think it'll be fairly similar with Golick and Greenberg. And then you sort of head just down the rest of that thing. I think people who like Levitard are going to continue to like Levitard. People who don't like Levitard are going to continue not to like him. Stephen A. Smith now gets the 1-3 spot, which is a very big spot nationally because a lot of places will pick up a 1 o'clock show as opposed to a 3 o'clock show. I heard Stephen A. many times in New York. He was on my local affiliate for years. He's not my cup of tea. At a certain point, I could only take so much bloviating until I want to throw myself off a 20-story building. So it's not a guy I'm really going to be partaking in. The other interesting thing is that Will Cain joins Ryan Russillo, and that's a particularly interesting radio story because, one, ESPN Radio decided to choose Stephen A. Smith's show over Russillo's show in the 1-3 spot. And, again, that's a more important spot nationally because more affiliates will pick up a 1 o'clock show as opposed to a 3 o'clock show where more guys locally will do drive time. And then they bring in Will Cain, and I think that is directly a result of ESPN wants to have people who are noted conservatives who work at their place because they have been obviously tagged by so many as being left-leaning and too liberal network. And so Will Cain is someone who we used to work for the Blaze. He's very much a conservative, I think, when it comes to his sports opinions. And that was interesting only because they're now getting that guy in a much bigger format. And then after that, it's just tough, and you guys know this. You know, these shows that sort of are on nationally from 6 to, like, 12 o'clock, very hard to get any traction. You're competing against local games. You're competing against the end of drive time. And radio between 8 to 12, generally Eastern time, is kind of a dead spot. So the real interesting thing, of course, on ESPN Radio is how will the Golic and the Golic and Wingo show do post Mike Greenberg? And then, you know, what does it mean for Russillo and Stephen A. Smith? This is just my guess, and I don't know this for a fact. If you told me Ryan Russillo is going to leave ESPN in a year or two, I would not be surprised, only because I think management basically has told the marketplace that we favor Stephen A. Smith's show over Russillo's show. And kind of once that kind of stuff starts to happen, you kind of know where you stand with your management.
Richard, one last issue to get to before we let you go. I remember the week you came on when the FBI college basketball story hit, and everybody agreed, bombshell. And then within 48 hours, Rick Pitino is out. I find it odd, I think all of us do, that, you know, the other shoe hasn't dropped. Nobody else has really gone down. We thought that it was just the tip of the iceberg, and here we are now a week or two into the college basketball season, and you wonder what's next. And what I think has been missing, that I'm surprised, I don't see the investigative journalists following up on the story and uncovering things. So I just wonder what's going on.
That's an excellent point. I have a theory on that. That's actually very insightful by you. And what my theory is that there's been a de-emphasis of college basketball reporting across the country. And you saw that at ESPN in particular, because look who they laid off last year. Andy Katz, their most prominent college basketball voice, and a number of other people who were sort of part of their college basketball network. I think you've seen this in some other places too, Fox, Sports Illustrated as well. They're, for whatever reason, college basketball seems to be a place where we've seen some reductions at some major, major places, which would have the money, obviously, and the resources to do these kind of investigations. The Athletic started its own college basketball site, led by my old colleague Seth Davis, and so that sort of gives me hope that there is, you know, there's a place that's going to do a ton of college basketball stuff. I don't know what kind of investigative stuff they're going to do because they're just really taking the day-to-day. But your point is correct, and that's my sort of – would be my thesis is that that's one of those sports led by ESPN where I've seen a lot of people who had a lot of years of experience in college basketball being laid off by places. And I wonder if just because of just declining resources in the media as well, you know, those investigative dollars are going more towards the NFL, you know, where they feel like they can get more interest. I'll tell you one thing to watch for. This would just be my guess. Would not be surprised if we start seeing some sports departments. This won't be ESPN, of course, but some newspaper sports departments maybe start to do some investigations in sports about sexual harassment. We are obviously in a moment with Weinstein, Al Franken, Trump, Charlie Rose, et cetera. It does not take a, you know, Roy Moore. the logical step would be to believe, and I would believe this to be sure, that these are not isolated incidents away from sports, and that sports has a lot of these same people. So I would not be surprised if there are journalism shops right now that are making plans to see to sort of see if they could report on who the equivalents are in the sports world. So that would be something I would want.
Wow. Good stuff. As always, Richard, have a happy Thanksgiving. We'll talk to you next week.
Same to you guys. See ya.
Richard Deitch, Sports Illustrated, author of The Media Circus. This is What I Know, next.